Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, WBAI, 99.5 FM on your dial. Good spirits there, Reggie. Good spirits. It's good to hear Reggie on the air talking with his wonderful, lighthearted self. Good guy. Reggie, who's engineering for us today, one of my special thanks to him. You know, good spirits, very hard to keep good spirits in general nowadays. Nowadays, it's more and more difficult. The more you look at the news, the more you look at what's going on, the economy, the subprime market, the blah, 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 blah. Price of gas, price of oil, price of everything. More difficult than that is I want to explore with you a thing called the sandwich generation. Yes, the sandwich generation is a kind of a recent phenomenon. It's something to understand, and it's the sandwich generation comes to our attention from a number of social work organizations who find that women, certain women, who are part of the sandwich generation are suffering more than almost anybody could understand. 27% of the women in America today are in the sandwich generation. Let's figure out what that means. This report came from the Not Ready for Prime Time, the needs of sandwich generation women. Between the needs of their own children and their aging relatives, let's look at what happened, okay? People live longer, so you have parents who are living longer, who have to be taken care of. People are having children at later ages. Many women, 30 to 50 years old, are suddenly stuck with the fact that they have children who are in their 20s and parents who are in their 60s, 70s. The parents are living longer, but the parents are also living longer with a higher incidence of diseases that come with living longer, such as Alzheimer's, dementia. They need more taking care of. The children are not leaving as soon as they used to. Children are staying at home longer. Children used to go off on their own, get married at an early age, age 20 or something, they'd get married. Or they'd go off into the army, they'd go to the military, they'd go to college, they'd leave home. But children are not leaving home because it's, number one, economically not feasible. And number two, the home is too good of a cushion because the kind of a home that the parent could provide is so much better quality than the child could get on their own. So adolescence is lasting longer. And it's unfortunate, but you find that most people who live at home with their parents are perennial adolescents. They are just because mommy and daddy are taking care of me. Even though they have their own room, even though they provide their own rent, they're still living at home with their parents. So now you have a parent who's kind of got this multi-relationship. You're a mother, you're a woman, you're married, you have a husband. But you have adults who live in the house with you, maybe. Your children live in the house with you. Your parents may live with you, or they may not. Now, parents don't have to live with you in order for you to be in the sandwich generation, because if you're somebody who cares and you have a parent who's not well, you take care of your parent. Of course you do. But this used to be easy. You see, you used to all live in a cave. You had one big cave, and there was Grandma, and there was Ma, and there were the babies. And if Grandma fell over, the baby said, look, Grandma fell over. Or if the baby fell over, Grandma said, look, there's the baby fell over, and she would go take care of it. When people lived together, this kind of thing was a lot easier to manage when they were all collectively in one space because there was an interchange. The adolescents took care of the grandparents. Nowadays, in the sandwich generation, it is the one caught in the middle who seems to be most of the tending. Why? Why? Because they are the one who is, the adolescents want to live their own lives and they don't want to be bothered. The parents need help with their parents and they're feeling feeble and they're turning to you to have the information. So this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about a relatively new phenomenon called the sandwich generation. Now, the sandwich generation can be, they make little puns about it, you know, it could be the club sandwich variation, which I think is an unfortunate joke. But the club sandwich variation is where you are not only sandwiched between a parent and your children, but where there's a grandparent as well to be taken care of. So now you can imagine that you're 50 years old and you have a parent to take care of, and then you have a child who's 30 to take care of, and then your child has a child. With the higher divorce rates, higher incidence of divorce, many children or young women who get divorced go home to live with mom, and they bring with them a baby. Now mom is taking care of her mother, her father, somewhere, whether they're at home or not, and taking care of the daughter who is heartbroken because she broke up with her husband, and the daughter's baby. Now, mom may feel very good because she feels needed, and she doesn't feel like, oh, well, this isn't such a bad thing, but where's pop? Where's the husband? Well, he's kind of looking at all this, and he goes along with it somewhat, but he pulls away. Pulls away into his own life of, you know, maybe hanging out at the bars with his friends or doing something, but getting out of the house. So now mom doesn't have the husband anymore. She doesn't have the nurturance of anybody coming in her direction. It's all going out. And I am sure I am talking to somebody on the radio today who feels just like that. All you do is put out and you get nothing back. And it's not because it's anybody's fault. It's because it's set up that way. You could have brothers and sisters who could equally take the position of helping out, but they don't. And because they don't, you do. But you see, the rule doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that just because they don't, you do. You do because you want to. You do because it fills some need of yours. At the beginning, it's almost like an addiction. You're the powerful, you're the mighty, you're taking care of grandma, you're taking care of ma, you're taking care of kids, you're taking care of your kids' babies. You're so powerful and strong and important. And then you begin to break down. And you begin to feel it. Everything going out, nothing coming in. The sandwich generation. What is the sandwich generation? It's a demanding time when a couple is still dealing with parenting issues, thinking about their own retirement, and yet facing the issues of coping with aging parents. Deciding which has the highest priority can tear a marriage apart. Because you remember, retirement was the idea. The idea was you're going to work till you're about 60, 65 years old, then you retire, then you quit. But if you're taking care of parents, that's not such an easy option. In fact, the marriage gets sacrificed. The priority gets sacrificed. 22% of the American population can be classified as the sandwich generation, meaning that they are parenting their own children and taking care of their parents at the same time. Some estimates show that nearly two-thirds of the baby boom generation will be taking care of an elderly parent in the next 10 years. In 1990, Newsweek reported that the average woman spends 17 years raising children and 18 years helping aging parents. That's 35 years gone. We are tending to others. Many of these couples face major stresses in their finances, their emotions, their relationships. What happens to a couple's dream of we get married, we retire, we travel, we slow down? What happens to that? It seems to be going. So what are the things you could do about it? What can you do about this being caught in the sandwich spot? And are you? It could happen at any age. It could happen at the young age when you're 30 and you have grandparents and parents to take care of and your own children. Or when you're 50 and you have children and grandchildren to take care of plus parents. And some people at age 50 have parents and grandparents to take care of. They do. They do. And children and grandchildren. And they put themselves in the middle. And just think about that. Think about the loss of identity. Think about the loss of a self. Where is your self? Is there a self left? Oh, you're the one, you know, you're the caretaker. You think you get pissed off at all by being somebody who always takes care of anybody? Well, the trouble with caretakers is after a while they get angry. And they get angry and they start taking care of in a mean way. Here, I made this for you. You don't get that kind of love that comes with the generosity. You see them when they're taking, if you have a parent who's sick and you're changing the bed for them and you're cleaning up for them, you see the irritation in the hands and the extra tug and the little shove that you do sometimes showing that irritation. Do you get that kind of angry? Get angry at them because you have to take care of it? In addition to this, part of what allows all this to happen is, as we said, people are not living at home. They're not in one environment anymore. They're not in one cave, so they're separate. So now you have to take care of people who are not at home. You have to take care of them because they're at a distance. Now, here's what's happened. Because people have lived longer, now people live separately, and now they have aging homes, nursing homes, assisted living, so that the older person has somebody to somewhat take care of them, but it still falls on you, the child, to do the final touches. They have home health care workers, but you still have to watch out. You still have to be in touch. So we've kind of developed these robotic ways of taking care of our parents and grandparents, but we still have to attend. People are living longer, and there are consequences. Dementia, Alzheimer, those kind of diseases and other illnesses of the aged are clearly coming up, and somebody's going to have to address them, and the children are the ones who suddenly get burdened with this. It's no longer like you walk out onto the ice, you know, and you're just kind of gone. Do you ever get stuck in this caretaking? People used to get married much younger, you know, start their lives. Now the average marriage is, you got to get this, it's kind of interesting. In Europe, the average age is in Scandinavia, 32 years old, and 30 years old. 32-year-old for a man, 30-year-old for a woman. In America, 27 years old for a man, 25 for a woman, which is up from 20 and 25. Used to be 20-year-old women were getting married, right, at the age of 20, and men were getting married around 24. Now it's 27 and 25. Israel has the youngest. They get married the youngest in Israel. You see, however young you get married, you get married in Israel young. And a lot of that has to do with religious beliefs and prohibitions and so on and so forth. Another thing that's allowed people, you know, because the people are at home, keep in mind the people who are left at home, and I want to talk about the divorce laws having changed so that there's no fault divorce. You can get out of a marriage easily now. The one who's left behind is not the son who divorces his wife, but usually the wife, the daughter, is the one who is left in the home with the parents. Because she is the one who has got to, you know, bring up the child and needs help with the children. So in this sandwich generation, we have this unusual world of something that has to be paid attention to, and nobody's paying attention to it. So I would like to bring it to your attention. And I'd like to say to you, how many of you out there are caretakers to the level where you feel like you're falling apart? And I'd like you to call in and speak to us, 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, 212-209-2900. Are you one of those caretakers? Do you ever feel like you just have no place to go and you're torn? A little later in the program, I'm going to describe to you some of the possible remedies for getting yourself so that you don't fall apart completely. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Another thing they call the cluttered nest syndrome. The majority of couples who have intergenerational households with good communication, having three or four generations under one roof, can actually enhance a family sense of well-being. That's not the problem. It provides a sense of belonging to young children. It assists teenagers to move on to adulthood, and it eases the burden of chores due to the extra helping hands. It's when they're separate that you run into the trouble, when the people are separate but depending on each other. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. 212-209-2900. Okay, hi, you're there.
Hello. Good
Hello
afternoon.
There.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes. This is Armand DeMille.
Yes, it is.
Good afternoon. I really enjoy the show. And actually, this is a situation that I know quite a few people that are going through. Now, in order for them not to really get involved in the caretaking itself, and I would suggest they get an activity, such as music. Thank you kindly. Bye-bye.
Wait. Say it again.
The whole thing?
Yeah, no. The last thing you're saying, you know a lot of people who are in this situation. Are you in this situation?
Yes, actually, I'm going through the situation right there.
Yeah, tell me about it.
The situation that I'm going through with one that is really taking care of a whole family, and it's not really the women, as you mentioned, only. It's also the men that are going through the same situation.
Tell me specifically what's happening in your family. You have who's at home?
My personal family?
Yes.
Well, I have a daughter, a son, a wife, and a grandson. I think the family is really exceptional. But they're going through personal problem, actually, that, you know, drugs involved. Kids have 10, 11 years ago had a come into the life and change. It's the whole situation that you had pointed out. I figured that I would call. Although everybody is trying to, I'm trying to keep the chemistry.
Yeah, so you part. Keep it together. I mean, are you the major one keeping everybody together?
Well, look, I'm putting in my two cents, let's put it that way.
Yeah. And do you ever get a feeling like there's nobody for you?
Well, that feeling, I don't give it time to really enter the equations.
Well, you see, now that's very important. What's your name?
EC Major.
EC Major. Yeah, EC Major, you know, one of the things that you're saying is very important. A lot of people who are caretakers do exactly what you do. They don't allow the time to even consider that they should be taken care of or that they need something to be fed to them. They just won't even allow the thought because the thought would get you too upset. So you don't even want to think about it, right?
I hear you.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm having difficulty on this, but thank you very much for calling in. Thank you. 212. I can't hear the call too well. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, is this Armand?
Yes, it is.
Hi, how are you doing? This was a timely show for me. My mother passed away 2 weeks ago after a 5-year battle with cancer. And what was happening is in my family, I have an older brother and a younger sister. I'm 56 years old, and things were getting very hostile. I'm from a pretty critical family, and I was getting criticism from both ends. And fortunately, we had hospice care at the end of my mother's life, and the hospice counselors, of all things, yesterday offered us a family counseling session. And as my sister was laying out all the things I needed to do with my life and all my shortcomings and issues and all her concerns, I basically put my stake in the ground and said, our life and the family has been very dysfunctional and unhappy, and I'm moving on from that. And I told her everything I wasn't going to tolerate, even in her visiting with her negative behavior. And after an hour of her criticizing and looking for faults in me, she actually broke down and revealed that her husband has been beating her for years, and that all this negativity has just been a diversion of her own issues. And I thought, oh, my God, it took my mother dying and this counseling, and it took 2 hours of counseling to get to this point to understand all things I haven't understood for years. And I just wanted to say to anybody, and I have a lot of loving long-term friends that have lived in the same town all my life that have really helped me, saw me coming apart, being taken care of my mother. But the hospice counselors and family counselors are really making the difference between my family staying unglued and remaining dysfunctional, and they're just, I just couldn't say more. They've just given me my life back and given me a clear perspective on it.
Beautiful thing. What's your name, by the way?
Oh, my name's Frank, and I live in Connecticut.
Hey, Frank, what's the name of the hospice care worker?
We live in Greenwich, Connecticut, so we were able to sign in through our local human...
But is there a first name to the person who did the work?
It's just the Greenwich Hospital Hospice Care.
Yeah, all right, Greenwich Hospital, I know it well, and the hospice care is really a fine thing. But, you know, you bring up a good point, Frank. You see, a lot of families hide their independent dysfunctionality people behind some kind of problem in the family, like mom's illness. And when that person dies, the family gets to face itself. The opportunity gets thrown up. In your case, Frank, you had a hospice worker and you fighting for yourself, you know, and you had these two things, two elements working to kind of bring it to fore. And you had a sister who really basically loved you but didn't know any way to love you except to criticize you and tell you what you had to do because she was hiding her pain. It's beautiful that you and she could become friends. Here's where you run into trouble. Let me suggest that you do not in any way grow a resentment towards her husband. Because that triangulation is going to be a repetition of your family drama over again.
She actually has recreated a dynamic that has been obvious in my family among several relationships, uncles, aunts, mother, father. And
the triangulation, right?
Yeah, the triangulation and the misappropriating hostilities. You know, the more angry and ugly somebody acts towards me, I mean, I would always know that it meant there's some dirt that they're just not being honest about. But I never knew what the dirt was. I mean, the thing that has taken a load off my back is the fact, my God, I actually heard something honest, and I actually understand now what's really going on.
Well, you don't understand what's really going on. You understand some of what's going on.
Yeah.
Because what's also really going on is why your sister chose to be in a relationship with somebody who beat her persistently over a period of time. There's something about it that was another piece of information. You see, so where you've got to be, if you want for your own sanity, you step back and you say, everybody chose to be where they are in one way or another, and that I am not going to be caught up in getting angry at different members just because somebody tells me something. And then you will be able to see your sister and love her for who she is, not attack her for her beliefs, but understand that she wants to present herself as, you know, I am a victim, therefore I have hurt you. And we'll say, okay, maybe that's her way of apologizing.
Well, one of the things I've really enjoyed listening to your show, and I listen to you whenever I can on the radio, is that is how to take care of yourself and how not to try to fix everything around you, but focus on you. And I've even had friends who also listen to you who've counseled me through this really difficult time with my mother and a lot of angry and ugly behavior in the family. And friends that have known me my whole life have said, after hearing me cry and rave and everything else, and then they'll say, I love you, but you know, you let that happen. I'm like,
right, exactly, good.
You could have left the room. You could have gotten in your car and walked away. You could have said nothing and turned around and disappeared, but you didn't. So you created the very problem you have. You allowed to create it. I'm like, you know what? You're right. I didn't leave the house, and I didn't shut my mouth, and I didn't walk away and come back or never come back. So it's I want to thank you for a lot of good advice, and through this very difficult time, I found you very soothing, and listening to other people talk, honestly, very helpful to me. Quite very honestly, very helpful to me through the end of my mother's days. I would make sure it just felt very good to hear your voice and hear people honestly going through what they were going through. So
and if you know, it's only been a short time, But if Mom could hear you in the ethers, and you could say something to her directly right now, besides I love you, if you were to say something to her that was significant, what would you want to say to her right now, Frank?
I'd want to say that I wish I knew more about her life to understand her better.
I wish I had taken, so say it directly to her. I wish I had taken the time. Say it as if you were saying it to her.
Yeah. Well, I spent my whole life trying to understand her.
But just say it directly.
Yeah. Mom, I wish I'd spent more time and had more time to understand your story better, to understand you better.
Now, wait a minute. Now, here's a problem. You said you spent all of your life trying to understand her.
Yeah.
And in many ways, that crippled you.
Yeah.
About Mom? I wish I hadn't spent so much time trying to figure you out.
Well, I'd probably be a lot more mentally stable if I spent less time.
All right, so try saying that to her, and let's see if you get more mentally stable. It might happen right now.
Yeah. Oh, Mom, I wish I spent more time taking care of my own life instead of trying to always figure you out, and that would have been maybe better for both of us.
Good message.
Yeah.
Good message. I'm sure there's a smile somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for calling in, Frank.
Thank you, Armand. Take care.
Sure. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, 212-209-2900. Let's take one more call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there, you're on the air.
Okay.
Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, I can hear you.
How are you?
I'm good. Can you talk a little louder?
Oh, I'm sorry.
And you're on the air.
Yeah, I am. Actually, this is a very good subject because right now we're taking care of my grandmother, my mother and I. And I find that it's taken over my life, but it's really just devoured my mother's life. She's there 6 days a week, and funny enough, my grandmother has 24-hour care. She fell both times and broke her hip with the 24-hour care. But
do you have a radio on in the background? Is there a sound in the background?
There's a lunchroom near me.
Oh, that's okay then. Fine. Yes. Now here's the question. Yes, I can hear you well.
Okay.
Have you attempted to get your mother to get into any support groups around the issue of her mother's ailment?
I don't encourage that because she would just take my head off with one fell swoop.
Okay, now why would she do that?
Because that's my mother.
I know, but why? What are we saying about her? We're saying my mother wants to be perceived as a victim, and she wants to be seen as a person sacrificing herself, and she does not want to be told something that would be easing her pressure because it would make her too angry, so angry that she would behead her daughter rather than face her own self and her own need to be in this situation.
Well, that's true about a lot of things.
Yeah, so now comes you see. Now comes you believing that you have to be afraid to tell her, look, Ma, this is your own making.
Well, what I think is more to the issue, so to speak, is to try to get her to take better care of herself because I've been noticing weight has been dropping off of her.
Yeah.
And I told her a couple of weeks ago, you know, Nana's going to live and you're going to fall over and die.
Yep.
You know, then where will we be, you know?
You need to get her into one of the groups. You really need to get her into
She's not going
to
do it, Armand. Come on. She's not going to do it.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
If you believe that, it won't happen. But if you do believe it, yes.
I know my mother.
I know your mother. Okay, I hear. And so getting her to take care of herself better, mind you, if she doesn't take care of herself, the sicker she gets, the more attention she gets from you.
And that is absolutely her personality.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I realize
that. So you better step out
of
this somehow. Because you become part of the illness.
Well,
when you don't step out, when you don't step out, then you say, Mom, get sick for me.
I'm already part of the drama because my being so enmeshed in the situation is not so much because that's what I want to do. On one level, I realize this needs to get done. My mother's two brothers aren't really stepping up to do anything. So it needs to get done, and I hate to watch my mother drive herself into a hole. So I drive myself into the hole with her.
Okay, you have any kids? Do you have any children?
No, and it seems like it's not going to happen.
Right, because you're driving yourself into the hole.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, then how about you find some support for you so that you don't drive yourself further into a hole because
you're
a valuable
person. You know
what
I would
really
like to do, Armand?
What would you like to do?
Find a way to say to her, I'm stepping out.
Yep.
I haven't got the guts to say, I'm 46. I want to go give myself a chance.
I'm 46. I want to give myself a chance. I'm stepping out, Mom.
Yeah.
I got to do it. Yeah.
It's really, for me, because she's not going to change. She's not going to join any group. You kidding?
So there's a group called Al-Anon, which encourages people like you, because you're a codependent, you see, and this is...
By gunpoint.
Yeah, well,
but nonetheless,
the gun is also in your hand. You see, it's also you pointing the gun at yourself.
Yeah.
You're saying yourself, stand still, you're under arrest. You know what I mean?
So, and agreeing to stand still.
Yeah, so we need you to find the support you need. If you can't find it, you call me and I'll find it for you. Because we need that muscle. Because I'll tell you, once you do step out, once you step away,
you'll
be so much better for your mother.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Can you tell me why? Give me some encouragement.
The free hand feeds.
Say that again?
The free hand feeds better food than the tight fist. I just made that up, but I thought it sounded good.
Sounds real deep.
Write it down. Thanks for calling in.
Take care.
Right. Bye-bye. Somebody write that down. Hey, we're going to take a short break. Listen, I'll do the break, Reggie. This is Armand DeMille with you, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial here in New York City, just about 1:30, a little past. Here's a little music for you just to lighten your load. My name is Kali, K-A-L-I, from an album called De Branche from Martinique, I bought that. Playing the djembe, which is a kind of banjo. So what do we need to do, you know? What do you need to do to keep your sanity, keep your family going, keep the generation going, keep society going, keep the world going? Is that your job? Keep me going? Well, if you're one of these people caught in the sandwich generation, if you're a piece of baloney, you know, if you're caught in the middle there, if you're just, you know, the mustard on the bread, somewhere in the middle, here are some of the things you need to do. Number one, you got to take care of yourself, and you do what you need to do to stay healthy. Now, what's important about that is very often depression slides into an intergenerational family worker, such as a person in the sandwich generation. You get depressed baloney, and the reason you get depressed baloney is because if you're in the middle of all of this thing taking place, both above you and below you, your grandparents and your children are all having troubles, you wind up not breathing. Now, it means that you don't want to go out of the house. You're afraid to go out of the house. So you actually get less oxygen. And when you get less oxygen, you can't just soak your feet in peroxide. You need to get out of the house somewhat. And you need to stay as optimally oxygenated. And that means take a walk. Get out of it. It includes having some fun, and if you can, any kind of fun, but don't put your life on hold, but get your body in movement. Number two, don't neglect your marriage. It may seem like your husband is incidental, or your wife is incidental to the problems of your children, and you, but no, this is the glue. Get your mate. The first thing you do is you make sure you're strong with your mate. Then when you're strong with your mate, you go from there to take care of other things. But if your mate is falling apart while you're taking care of your mother, you're making your wrong priorities. It's your wrong choice. Number three, be practical. You can only do what you can do. Don't overload yourself either emotionally, physically, or financially. Or if you do, understand that there is a compulsion inside you to bury yourself under depression. That some people would rather be dead than alive. And so the deeper you sink yourself into the hole, it's not because there's nobody else there, but like she said a couple of minutes ago, you need to step out. You need to be able to take care of yourself. And if you don't, maybe there's a reason you're not doing it. And for that, you go to the codependency group. So CODA, C-O-D-A, or Al-Anon, both, are both tremendous groups for helping people who feel stuck in the kind of relationships that are difficult to at least identifying their own personality, identifying their own strengths, and taking care of themselves first. I mean, who's the best person to take care of you? Somebody who takes care of themselves. I'd rather have a healthy person taking care of me than a person who's getting sick along with me. If you have boomerang children returning home, make sure all your expectations have been shared. Call them to be responsible adults, even though they're living in your home. You know what I mean by boomerang? It's obvious. You sent the kids out, now they're coming back, and they want to come back home and live with you. Right? It's a little rough out there. If you decide to have an aging parent living with you, share the expectations. Talk about it. Remember that your parent can and probably wants to have responsibilities in the household. Let them be involved, productive members of the family. Give them responsibility. Talk to the other members of your family. If somebody in your family is so angry at your parents, your brother, your sister, and they don't want to be a part of it, why do you have to pick up the missing piece? You know? Protect your own privacy and your time alone, both as an individual, for yourself, and as a couple. Realize that any unfulfilled dreams may cause problems in your marriage. Talk about these. If you and your husband decided that you were going to be living in Mamaroneck, I don't know, it's a word. If you decided that that's where you're going to live as you got older, you know, and you said, oh, we'll retire to Mamaroneck, and then you're not living in Mamaroneck, but you're still caught in the South Bronx, because you're taking care of parents, talk about it. Honey, what about our lost dream? What about our retirement? Can we talk about it? Because people don't talk about it. Sometimes they get afraid to talk about it. They're afraid it's going to open too big a wound. Don't be afraid to ask for help from the community and the government resources. There are so many sources, like we heard about Greenwich Hospital and the kind of care they have there. There are resources, and there's mental health workers and social workers everywhere who can be of help. Start talking about the possibility of someday being part of a change, a shift. Try to imagine a clearer place. When mom dies, here's the way it's going to be. As she passes on, here's what's going to happen. When grandma passes on, talk about the future as if you make a plan. And try to talk about it with the people who count the most, which is mostly going to be your mate, if you have a mate. Or your kitten, if you have a kitten. Or your dog, if you have to do a dog. You know, hey, what are we going to do when it's all over? Maybe we'll take a walk. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
Good. Reggie, that was flawless. Yes, hello. Hi.
Hi. My name is Judith.
Hello, Judith.
Hi. I'm from Jamaica, and I had my grandmother took care of myself and my other cousins when we were children. She had 9 children of her own, and she got married at the age of 16, very young in Jamaica. And she came to this country, I think in the 80s it was, and she worked 7 days a week to send home money to Jamaica to take care of her family there. And, you know, and she eventually filed for all her children to come to America. And when they got here, everyone's living their own lives and doing their own thing. But then as time went on, she's getting older, and no one's paying attention to her because they figure, oh, she's strong. She's always been strong. She's independent. She's going to be okay. And I find that I was saying to them, as the grandchild, I'm saying to them, look, you got to, you know, pay attention to your mom. She's getting old. They're like, ah, pshaw, she's going to be okay. In the end, I ended up taking care of her myself. I lost my job. Trying to do so, but it was okay. In the process of me, you know, taking care of her, I realized I needed time for myself, and I gave myself that time. I didn't fall into depression. I wouldn't allow myself to, because to me it's stupid. It's not going to help the situation. So what I did was I had an outlet. My outlet was roller skating or reading, so I took time out to do that and then, you know, get back to the grind of taking care of her.
What happened to your mother originally?
My mother or my grandmother?
Your mother.
My mother, she just was in denial, I think.
And what about her denial of your needs? What about your mother? How did your mother ever relate to you? Did she have a lot of kids around?
No, I'm the only child from my mother, actually.
So why did your mother not give you what you needed? It's a direct question.
Oh,
I'm
I don't know.
I'm asking you because I know.
Oh, I don't know.
Well,
what I
did
have
you
no
need?
Idea.
What did you need that your mother didn't give you?
I needed that mother-daughter relationship.
You're darn right.
Yeah, we never had that. But it was okay.
Wait. Slow down.
Okay.
It wasn't okay. You see, it was okay because you shifted it to your grandmother. You see, And because there is a pain inside you that still sits there. And it sits there about the missing part from your mom. That's what's most obvious about it. Did you ever talk to your mom about what you need from her now?
Yes.
And what happens in those conversations?
She's not able to give it to me, and I realize that.
You mean you realize it, or she said, I don't want to give it to you?
No, I realized it. So she says with her mouth she loves me, and I believe she does. I just don't feel it.
Yeah. So what would happen if you persisted and you said to her, Mom, I know you're saying it with your mouth, but I just don't feel it. Just imagine this horrendous conversation. Imagine this horrible conversation of you with your mother sitting down alone, nobody around, and you say, Mom, I know you say you love me, but all my life I could never feel it. I don't know what to do about it. And she'll say, oh, but I gave you the best food, and I made you nice clothing, and I did your, she'll say,
that's exactly right. That's what she said.
I know that's what she said, because I know your mother. That's exactly what she would say to you. But you say to her, but I need something more, Mom. I'll tell you what. Can I just hug you for about 10 minutes?
Ooh, no.
Ooh. You see the way you feel?
That would not happen, Armand.
You would hate it, right?
No, I wouldn't hate it. She would hate it. I tried doing that, and she cringed. She's like, oh, get away from me.
Well, can you talk to her about that?
I did.
You know, I mean, this is what would happen if you came in my office. You come in my office with your mother, and I would sit there with your mother, and I'd say, your daughter wants you to hold her for 10 minutes of your daughter's entire life. How long have you been alive?
40.
40 years old. Hey, Mom, 40 years. You got 10 minutes to hold your daughter without making a face? Hold her as if she's your new baby. And your mother would hold you for 10 minutes, and she would learn that she's not going to crack inside when she does it, and you would learn that she could do it, and you two would kind of get past this thing if you could, because you're in such a habit of avoiding each other. So I'll take that, and I'll say to you, the reason why you were in such a great relationship with Grandma was because Ma was missing. But Grandma's gone, you know?
Armand, you're going to make me cry. I'm joking. Go ahead.
Yeah, of course. Of course I'm going to make you cry, because the tears have been sitting in there your whole life. You see? And that's why you roller skate.
Yeah.
Because when you roller skate, you can't cry.
That's
I understand. True. I understand. Go after it, kitty. I mean, you're 40 years old. You got plenty of time. Challenge this one. Challenge it. Take it on. If you wind up spitting at each other and yelling at each other, it's fine.
Oh, no, we already did that. She said to me, I know you're going to put me in a home when I get old, and I have no plans of putting her in a home. I'm going to take care of her just the same way I took care of my grandmother.
Don't do it. Don't take care of her. She doesn't deserve it unless she hugs you. Take my
I can't help it. I'm a softie.
You're going to have to help it.
Oh, jeez.
Trust me.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Armand.
Sure. 212-209-2900. You know, it's not that they automatically deserve it just because they're old. You know, it's not that, and it's not that we deserve it because we're young. We don't deserve anything. Nobody deserves anything. We all earn the love that we get. And if you can't hug your daughter for 10 minutes after 40 years, you got some work to do. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Armand.
Yes.
How are you?
Good.
Oh, boy, it's good to get through to you. I remember listening to you last week, and you had a show that said, why do you like to listen to The Positive Mind? And people called in, and they connected. And I like to listen to The Positive Mind because it reminds me that there are other people going through what I'm going through, and that I'm not alone, and then at least you have a knowledge of the mind and compassion, and you at least get it. You might not have all the answers, but it connects me to a community of people. I'm having a really tough time, my friend.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. I can hear. I've heard you over the years. And, you know, and I tell you, it's like I know what you mean. You know, just to say somebody gets it, it's not easy, and we're all a collective, and somebody gets the idea that it's tough out here, you know?
I'm living with an elderly mother.
Yeah.
And I'm a boomerang. I'm a 50-year-old boomerang kid.
Mm-hmm.
I moved away out of Manhattan. And then I was away for a while. I came back. because I had a medical problem that I needed attending to, and see, and the place I moved to wasn't, you know, I'd kind of exhausted all the possibilities. I came back to New York with the anticipation of reconnecting with my old support network. I've been in recovery for a long time, particularly Al-Anon, codependency, child abuse. And I ended up staying with my mother temporarily while I got, while I hopefully was going to get resettled into the city. It never happened. And I ended up getting physically more sick and more isolated in the suburbs as the friends that I, you know, thought were going to be there for me as my support system kind of disappeared.
You know, but one of the things I know about you, and I've known about you over the years,
yeah,
is that under all of these pressures, your consciousness is so higher than most people I've ever heard, so that you have looked at yourself and examined yourself and worked with yourself and used your support system as best you can. And yes, it has not turned out beautiful because you're sick, your mother's sick, you're in the middle of it, you're stuck with her. But you have done very, very well with yourself. I mean, compared to where you could have gone right through the floor. So why you listen to the positive mind is because I need you to. Because you are the exact audience that we are hoping for. You're the person who investigates himself, checks himself, looks at himself, and tries to improve his own lot in life.
You're giving me a lot of credit, and I appreciate that.
You deserve a lot of credit.
But I'm suffering, and I'm suffering. I'm reaching out because I'm suffering alone, and I have enough self-awareness. And I have enough insight to know what I'm not getting, and I'm using that as ammunition against me to fuel my self-hatred. I'm really in a pressure cooker here, and I'm suicidal, to say the truth.
I've heard it over the years. I've heard you for so many years talking about this.
I don't know. You always say that when I call in. I'm not that regular a caller, you know.
Sure. No, but I know
you're saying it sounds like you're trivializing me when you do that.
What did you say?
It sounds like I'm being trivialized. Like, here's that guy again, you know. get him off the air.
So now you're sounding angry because you're hearing me not taking you on or responding to your suicidal.
It's not the suicidal threat so much. I'm living with a mother who was very abusive to me growing up.
And you have talked about some of the resources. And if you want further resources, you call my office and I will try to hook you up with more resources. I still think you're a very brave man.
I'm going to email you and hopefully, you know. Because, I don't know, everybody else gets a chance to speak on the air, and I always get cut off being told how insightful and brilliant I am. And I don't know. It seems like I lure myself into a trap of trust here, and then the trust gets betrayed.
It's just such a mistake to trust me.
I'm sorry?
Do feel free to call my office. I will follow through with you, okay?
Thanks, Armand.
This is Armand DeVille with you, The Positive Mind. Hey, listen, I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., and I think I'm bringing you a very interesting conversation about narcissism and people who live with narcissists, which, if you don't know it, it's a yellow fish. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. If you want a copy of today's program or if you want to hear the show today, you can go to WBAI.org or thepositivemind.com. Back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m.